And then Pastor Kevin came through with a great offer to call Pastor Scott Schesser from Iwakuni. He's a chaplain there, I believe.
Pastor.
Forgive me. He's a pastor in Iwakuni. I've never met him. I only met him just as we were worshiping here during the worship time. So I don't know. I only know the sermon title that he has today. But if he's good enough for Pastor Kevin, then he'll be good enough for us, I believe. So, yeah, you got no problem with that. So, yeah. So, no further ado, would like you all to please welcome Pastor Scott Schesser and also his wife Leah. Is that correct? Yeah, please welcome them up here.
Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to, as I get set up here, this is my message. All right. Amen. Well, I am a pastor. I am an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God, just same as Pastor Orikawa. And he's with the Japan Assemblies of God. I'm with the American Assemblies of God. And so, please forgive me as I get set up. And so, I hold the position of pastor and missionary here. We are actually, even though I'm an ordained minister, I actually am a missionary. I'm sent here to Japan as a missionary to our American military and the Japanese in Iwakuni. So we also have an international service. We preach in English with translation over headphones into Japanese. And so that's in Iwakuni and at Rock Point Church. So Iwakuni meaning rock country. We thought it was a very appropriate connection between the city and also our church. And so Pastor Hiroshi has been a blessing to us. He has helped us out several times with our lease, and he's actually our co-signer on our lease, and so he's been a blessing to us and our church, and he's been a co-signer on my house, and so he's just been a help to us. I've met with him a few times here, and it's been just very good. And Pastor Chris, I've listened to you online. Church, you are blessed to have such a scholar in your church. Amen? I'm impressed. I showed your messages to my wife, and I'm like, look at this guy. So I'm impressed. So thank you. Thank you, Chris, for being pastor here. And Kevin, I've known him for just a little while now. I've been in Iwakuni in Japan 12 years. I was here as a young kid. Also, my stepdad was connected to the base. And so I was here as a kid. Then also I was in the military and served on Okinawa. So I've been in Japan probably around, 17, 18 years? And but speak very little Japanese. I'm sorry to our Japanese speakers. But our ministry is mainly in English. But anyway, blessings. Thank you, Pastor Chris, today too for the introduction. So I was told you were studying on the book of Revelation. I was joking with Kevin. Kevin, I have never preached on the book of Revelation. And Kevin's like, neither have I. So I said, well, this is interesting. So I told him I'd get close, but not necessarily speaking on the what you are going through. So as your pastors worked through it, kind of came up with this message, how will you spend your time in the last days? How will you spend 2018 as the Lord's return approaches? So we are 1 year closer to the Lord's return and to Judgment Day. And this is very real for us. I know in this nation with truly, truly temples on every corner. And so this, and with our Japanese, this is heavy on my heart. And I hear their prayers. When our Japanese pray
Lord, forgive us for the idols in our nation. My heart's just breaking for our Japanese and our nation here that hosts us. And so, it is very appropriate to at least get close to your messages on Revelation. So what should we be doing as the Lord's return, as Judgment Day approaches? So I have three main points for you today. First one here is don't waste your life, okay? Don't waste your life, okay? This is all in answering that question, okay? So what do we do? What do we do with the time God gave us in 17? Or what did we do? What did we do? Sorry. And so what do we do with 2017 in our life? Okay. Church, it's great serving here. Heard a little bit of that today. Maybe we played some sports, right? If you're like me, I enjoy cars. And maybe we worked on cars, drove cars. Okay. Watch sports, exercise. Maybe that's our 2017. I was looking at my brother over here, and I was like, he is huge. I think he exercises. I think so. I think he's like, who, me? Yeah, that's right. Not the skinny guy in the back. No. You're like me, okay? No. But maybe we exercise. Watch some movies, gamed, you know? A lot of things, hobbies, work, parties, events. Many ways we spent 17 and 2017. So none of those are bad in itself. It's not bad to play sports, to work out, to look good. None of those things are bad. But God is concerned about how we spend our time. He's very concerned with our time. Here's Psalm 90, verse 12. Okay? It says this. It says, teach us to number our days aright. That means correctly. So teach us to number our days correctly, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So we're instructed in Psalms to number our days. So what does that mean practically for us? That means we start our day with a purpose. God has something for me today. And you ask that question every day. When I go to work, God, what do you have for me? It's much more than a job. It's much more than earning a paycheck. It's much more than that. So God, what do you have for me today as I go to school, to the university to study? What do you have for me today as I take care of my kids at home? What do you have for me today? There is a purpose in every day. God has a great purpose for us. So if we spend all our time, church, if we spend all our time on things of this world, and then only have 5 minutes at the end of the day for God, or really sometimes no time at all. Are you with me, church? Come on. Busy days, right? Busy days. Church, God spoke to me very clearly. You will spend yourself. We have 4 to 5 year terms as missionaries. That means we raise all our money in the States, and that's how we're paid. We have 4 to 5 years. God spoke to me in this term. You will spend yourself. You will spend yourself on behalf of my people, the hungry, the hurting. Okay? And I'm working 7 days a week for 2.5 years. Haven't stopped. I knew that I can't carry that very long. And I knew it's coming to a head very soon. I need to hire a secretary. But guys, we spend ourselves, we are very, very busy people, okay? But what are we giving God in those hours that we're spending out or giving out every day, okay? And guys, we can get stuck, right? We heard about Tokyo snow, unexpected snow. Missionaries up there talking about it. You know, it shut down a lot of areas up there in Tokyo shut down. We can, just like that, we can get stuck in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord, where it becomes work. Yeah, we're having a good marriage. We're working on raising our kids, some more than others. You know, we're doing those things. We're studying. Yeah, we're paying our bills. But we can get stuck, like in snow. We can get stuck there, and we lose the meaning
Amen, church, we do. We get so busy and there's so many concerns, and now you're a supervisor, you're a boss, and now there's even more responsibilities. So we can get stuck in our faith. Okay? Guys, fruit in Scripture is used to describe what we produce. Okay? Good fruit, bad fruit. Okay? The fruit of sin is to fulfill our desires, and the fruit of righteousness is to do God's will. Okay? So good fruit, bad fruit. Okay? Are we producing a sinful life, a holy life, righteous life? We're following doing God's will. Okay? So what are we doing to produce good fruit? Looking at 2017, what did we do to produce good fruit, to grow God's kingdom? What are we going to do in 2018 to produce good fruit? Okay? Guys, when it comes to 24 hours in a day, this is a challenge to me. When I preach these things, and pastors would tell you, they preach to themselves. They preach what they know, and they preach what they're going through. So when I preach these verses, or share these verses, when I say these words, I put my name at the top of the list first. And so I ask myself, with the 24 hours in a day that I have, God wants my best, not my scraps. God does not want my leftovers. He's not interested in scraps. He wants your everything in life. When we sign up for this thing called Christianity, when we sign up for whatever is written in this book, He wants our all. He's not looking just for, you know, on Sunday morning, amen, church? He wants it all. He wants your time Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. He wants it. Okay? It's very clear in Scripture. Okay? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. There it is. And she is very good on those slides. I like that. You are good. It's great. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. That's how God sees you. People need to know this. Amen? People know that they are dearly loved by God. Verse 2. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. So because Christ gave himself up for us, because he gave himself up for us, we respond by living for him. He is our everything. My God saved me. I could have died like my buddies. I could have had that drug life the same way they had. Drunk. That could have been my life. Could it not? So every day I remember this, I acknowledge this. He gave me everything, church. And so now I respond by giving him everything back, my all. Guys, in these verses, church, our character changes. We live a life of love. Church, a love for people. Do we know what it means? I say many of you probably do. I heard it today in some of the testimonies. Do we know what it means to be broken for people? To walk down streets and just not getting somewhere for lunch. Do you know what I'm talking about? But to walk down these streets of Hiroshima and to be broken for the people. If you're like me, my heart is in the bars. The bar girls. When I walk down those streets, my heart is broken. That's where I was called into the ministry. I wasn't there to go into the bars. I was there doing ministry in Okinawa, in the prostitute alleys. And so I'm broken for people. When we see a homeless guy, does it affect us? I know there's very few in Japan. It's counted into the thousands. They know how many there are. But when we see someone, are we ever broken anymore for these people? I heard it today. I know you are. Amazing testimonies that some of you shared and how you care for people. Let's go to Ephesians 5, 3 and 7, 3 through 7. Or I'm just going to kind of talk about it and read verse 6. But verses 3 through 7 tell us how we should not live, and how we should not live, rather, and ends with a strong warning in verse 6. It says this: God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Now we can take that for ourselves. God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Repent, it leads us to repentance. But if we are thinking about people, or if we are broken for people, God's wrath will be on those people that I work with. God's wrath will be on my family that does not know Christ. And I say that with great respect because I have many family members that do not. But God's wrath will be on those people that we see every day, because they are disobedient. Their sin is an offense to God. Verses 8 through 10. Let's read those. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Now that we are followers of Christ, those of you that are born again, we not only owe him our everything, he asks us to be doers of this world, James 1. And to accomplish that, we discover, here in these verses, we discover, if we are doers of the word, okay, God's word, we discover what pleases him. So what pleases the Lord? Okay. Verses 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Guys, there is nothing wrong with our kids becoming a straight-A student. There's nothing wrong with that. Or great athletes and getting a scholarship, going to a wonderful university. Okay, but make sure parents, future parents, in the middle of their studies or training, that they don't lose their love for Christ. Amen? Because if they do, all those awards that you have on that wall will mean very little. Your priorities must be very clear to your kids. Very clear. Passionately clear to your kids. And if church, if we are so busy and we're still on Don't Waste Your Life, if we are so busy that we don't have time to love those around us, church, and make an impact in their lives with the gospel, you have no reward in the end of this life. We may make it to heaven, church, but we are judged on our deeds. We are judged. Our reward is based on that. You may make it into heaven, but your mansion is tiny. There's no one that we've shared this word with, this life, this hope. I'm focused, passionate, church. Passionate about this. I'm blessed. Pastor Horikawa started your year out, I heard, with a message on outreach. Just following up what your pastor is doing this year, church. Okay? Guys, again, we are all very busy. Okay? I know that. And it's easy to get drained in life. It's easy to get drained. People are draining. Come on, church. As you sit through and listen to their stories, It can drain you, right? They're difficult stories that some of these people you're dealing with. Difficult stories. And to do that every day at work and to hear people's stories and they come to you because you're a listener, because you're kind, because you're a believer, because they know that you do this something called prayer and it works for you, so they come to you. And that can drain you, church. But you know I am refreshed. Yes, I'm refreshed by this word. I'm refreshed by being alone with God, getting alone with Him, communicating with this living God, and He fills me with His Spirit. That's, yes, I am refreshed that way. That's number one. But guys, I'm also refreshed. Not with frequent vacations. I do not need them. But when someone is rescued from a sinful life, when a friend learns a new truth in the Scripture, or when a homeless family has their basic needs provided for, guys, I am refreshed. It will carry me months, church. When I share with them, with a new believer, a non-believer, I say, go home and pray, and I say, try it. See if this living God is real, if He's alive. And they come back and they say to me, you won't believe what happened. I'm saying, oh, yes, I will. I know my God. That one point will carry me weeks of working, weeks of trials, weeks of listening to people's pain. That one thing refreshes me. I am refreshed when people's lives are transformed by this living God, this living Word, and He's using people like us to share this gospel. That's how I'm refreshed. You may think I'm a crazy pastor, but guys, I start worship music like you had today. When that day is rough, pray some worship music and I'll play it and I'm dancing around my house. I really don't care what people think. I'm dancing around my house, worshiping the Lord, stirring up the joy that God wants us to have every day in life. I'm not saying there's trials. There isn't trials. I'm not saying there's not hard things that we deal with every day. But I am saying that there is this promise of refreshing, of joy as you're serving Him. It is through sharing the gospel. It's through prayer. It's through worship. It'll transform your life. It'll transform your life when you step into this area of finding purpose in your life. It's more than work, more than just a good marriage, more than just kids, like I said earlier. It is discovering refreshing as we serve God, as we do what is said in this word. That's where the refreshing comes. That's where the joy comes. Your job changes. When someone is saved from suicide, say it's a coworker, your job changes. Imagine if that happens at work. Imagine if you pray for someone in the break room over lunch and they are healed on the spot. It changes your workplace. You love going to work because you have purpose now. You have purpose in life. Everything changes when you get a hold of this truth of refreshing. So don't waste your life, church. Let's close out this point. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life on the things of this world because people need to know Jesus. My second point. I got to go quicker, I know. You guys are doing all right. Thank you, Pastor. Look at, Pastors, can I get 5 minutes? Can I get five? Someone give me five by raising your hand. Can I get five? 5, 10, 15, 20. Ooh, 25. You guys are good. I like that. Thank you. I just got to get permission from you. So if I go over, you saw who raised their hands, okay? I'm just saying, letting you know. Okay, here we go. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, all right? Jesus' name is not popular at all. It is not. Japan, America, even in America, Christian America, which it is not, even in America, that is seen as a Christian nation, Jesus' name is hated, and is seen as now offensive. You cannot say his name. You can be fired for saying his name in America today, depending on your job, because it brings great offense to so many others in that nation that worship false gods. His name's not popular at all. So if his name is not popular, and you are tied to his name, and you are made, it's made public that you are a believer, that means that you may not be so popular in certain places because you are proclaiming his name and his truth. Okay? Guys, Scripture makes it very clear to us that Christians will be persecuted because we trust in Jesus. And still, even today, around 10,000 Christians around the world will lose their life in 2018 because of their faith in Christ. Now, about 90,000 Christians die a year, but that's mainly due to war. Only about 10,000 of that 90 is due to persecution. They're actually martyrs. 10,000 people are still losing their lives for this gospel. Okay? So this is not, Jesus' name is not popular. Okay? People are losing their lives because of it. Okay? Guys, I understand that there's not a great deal of persecution. We don't have to be very concerned about losing our lives here in Japan. But I understand the Japanese in our church enough to know that there is a shaming of Christians in Japan. And I understand that there is still types of persecution here. And some very difficult with our Japanese. Okay? And probably here too. Let me ask this question, church. Are we supposed to live a quiet, private life? Or are we to live boldly for Christ, making his name known? Now, in this culture of Japan, that is a very appropriate question. But no offense, nation. Are we supposed to be living this quiet, private life, or does this word teach us of men and women that were bold for him, not ashamed of his name? We can read, just to speak of the opposite, because some of you are like, well, Pastor, there's some verses that talk about this. Well, yes, let's bring them up. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12. Pastor, but what about this verse? What about this verse, Pastor? I know it's our culture in Japan, the culture to live this quiet and private life and not to be offensive. I understand that and I respect it. My kids know to be quiet in many, many places as we're out because Americans are so loud all the time. Oh, my goodness. They don't have a clue. I know. Okay? But my kids know. You're respectful in this nation. We have to deal with this verse, these verses, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, okay? Make it your ambition, here it is, to lead a quiet life. There it is, Pastor. To mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. We're still witnessing, Pastor. We're still witnessing to live this quiet life. Isn't it working this way? Isn't this what the verses say? That we win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So we can use these verses and say, I know I'm not spending a lot of time here, but we can spend this, or look at these verses rather, and think, this is what we're supposed to do. A quiet witness. And I agree, that is a witness. Living right. Okay?
But this is what we're supposed to do. This is the nation of Japan. This is, it fits into the culture very nicely. To live this quiet life and let your, let the way you live be this expression to these outsiders. And let it be this witness. But if you take time to look at 1 Thessalonians in this portion, chapter 4, Paul is dealing with, he's dealing with a small group within the church that is lazy and has spent their time getting involved in other people's business, to rephrase it. This is what Paul is dealing with. He is not instructing the church as a whole to live this way. This is a group, right? They are in your business. They're not productive. All they're doing is gossiping. This is it. Okay? They're lazy. And they spend their time causing trouble. So Paul comes in as apostle and deals with it here. Paul is not saying that we shouldn't live our lives boldly for him, even in this nation. That is not what Paul is saying at all. Paul said it in Romans also, Romans 1:15. That he is eager to preach the gospel. He's eager, he's passionate to preach the gospel. I must preach it. Then verse 16, I am not ashamed of this gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's true. Paul understood the power of the gospel message and how it could transform lives. It can be, guys, this gospel that you teach about here, very well, a matter of fact. The gospel that you teach here and that you listen to every Sunday, it has power. Acts tells us this. The Holy Spirit can give us power to be a witness. There is power in these pages, what's written on it, who it's written about. Nothing magical about the book itself. If we get a hold of this truth, what Paul said, not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. We get a hold of this church, and you begin to be broken and weep for the people on your job. Your neighbors you're broken for. Lord, save them. If they died today, they would not go to heaven. Break my heart for my neighbors. Break my heart for my coworkers. Let me actually be burdened. Let it be a weight that I carry every day I go to work. They must know Jesus. Because on Judgment Day, there's only two ways. And I want you coming with me. Are we broken for people? Have you ever wept over someone? Have you ever been broken for a people group? God, I will give everything. I will give everything for this job, for these people on the job, for this people group. Break my heart for this. Help me to begin to weep for them. But I'm a strong man. I don't weep. Break me, Lord, to the point of weeping over a people. Giving everything. Not being afraid how this will affect who I am, right? My image. Not being afraid. And I know there's balance here, church. I understand that. Not being afraid of what this may do to me on my job, in my nation. There's some things we can do very creatively to keep our job, but to still not be ashamed of this gospel. God wants us to be broken, to be burdened for people. And if you think that was pretty hard preaching, you guys doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus gives even a stronger challenge. I'm going to rush through this, okay? I know it's late, church. I'm going to hurry. I know you got things, okay? Let me rush through this. Thank you, brother. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Here it is. This is your Savior, church. Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, his goals, his purposes in life, and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. A lot here. I know we're not going through everything. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me, this is Jesus. Remember who's speaking. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he yet comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. We don't like those verses. We do not. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us think that Jesus is tough and hard and mean. We do not like this. This would not go in a seeker-friendly church in America. They would not preach this. It is too hard. But Jesus preached it, the one we follow. Okay? This is what I pray. Lord, make me uncomfortable for my family. Whatever it takes, help me to be passionate and broken for my people, my nation, my city, my job. Do whatever it takes, God, to make me uncomfortable. Let these scriptures wake me up in the middle of the night and weep for a people. This is how intense these words are. I know I'm intense, church, but this is how intense these words are. Okay? When God gives you an opportunity to make his name known, take it. And don't be ashamed to mention with passion and boldness the name of Jesus. And if you want this passion, if you want this boldness, you receive the boldness and the power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. This is what's promised. This is what's taught in this church, in this denomination. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You want to be broken. You want to be passionate. If you feel nothing in your heart for people, you need to study the book of Acts. You need to understand what this baptism of the Holy Spirit is and answer the question, is this for today? So don't be ashamed, church, because people need to know him. My last point is short, okay? You know, pastors have like two or three closings, so this is like number three, okay? We're getting close. Last point, guys, it'll be quick. Don't stay in the boat, okay? Don't stay in the boat. Matthew 14, you know where I'm going, some of you. Matthew 14, 22 through 27. Matthew 14, 22 through 27, it says this. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them, of him, to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, so he sent them alone. Remember that. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Or by himself to pray. When evening came, I want you to remember evening. When evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was already considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves. You know what buffeted means? It means that you're rowing, you look at the shore, and you're not moving. So they were rowing. They were buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch, remember that, evening and fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. It's an old fisherman's superstition. You see a ghost, you're going to die. So they still had some of that in them, the disciples. So they saw a ghost, they thought they were going to die. So connected with their old life. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." I had you remember morning and fourth watch. Guys, these are Roman watches, and there's four Roman watches of the night. 4 6-hour periods of time. Okay? So Jesus saw them in the morning, and he came to them on the fourth watch of the night. You know what that means? Jesus saw the disciples struggling at the oars, buffeted by the wind. Their life was hard. They were in a trial. They were in a storm. They were not going anywhere. Jesus saw them, and he let them go by the Roman watch anywhere from 6 to 12 hours longer, being buffeted by the waves. He did not go to them immediately. He went to them, I like to say 12 hours, but he went to them anywhere from 6 to 12 hours later. And then he rescued them. Then he calmed the storm of their life. Guys, when Jesus goes to them, listen, before we get to the call, but when Jesus goes to them, the storm is still raging. It is not calm yet. He's walking on the waves that are raging. I would love to see this. Don't you hope there's supernatural video in America? Come on, church. We won't need projectors. It'll just go up on the screen, right? Oh my goodness, I'm hoping for this. That you can watch these past events that took place. That's just my personal hope. That's not in the Bible. Don't get angry at me, okay? I'm sure hoping we can look back at these things. See Jesus walking on the water. It'd be amazing. But the waves were still storming. Jesus comes to him. They're raging, rather. Jesus comes to them. The waves are high. The boat is rocking. Maybe the water is coming in the boat. It's filling up. The smart thing to do at this point is to stay in the boat, is it not? This is what's keeping me afloat. There's no way I can survive in those waves. Do you see those waves? I'm not a good swimmer. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat, everyone, right? I could see Japanese. You know, Japanese, guys, I have great love. But because I know my Japanese and my pastor, that's kind of dangerous. You know, I hear that from my Japanese. I'm like, oh, we'll be all right. This is an American way, right? And so, but I can see this conflict, you know, in the church, okay? And my Japanese do tell me that all the time. Oh, pastor, I don't know if you should do that. You know, it's not safe. And I say that very respectfully and loving my Japanese greatly, but we have this conversation regularly in our church. But guys, this boat is safer than the ocean. And all my friends are staying in the boat because nobody's going to get out. Everybody's staying in the boat. It's safer in the boat. And listen to what happens to one person who gets hungry for greater things. One person in that boat says, I want to do something great. I want to do more than just stay in the boat. Matthew 14, 28 and 29. This is my last section, church. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, you know, if you're not a ghost, because we're superstitious. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Guys, we have to look beyond, and this is true, we have to look beyond what we feel and what we see. Feelings are very deceptive. The boat's safe. I don't want to go there. Everybody else in my nation is here. Everybody else in my church is here. This is what we do. Dangerous words. Sometimes, depending on your church. Church, we have to look beyond what we feel and what we see, beyond what others are doing, and trust Christ. If you compare yourself to others, church, oh, but Pastor Chris is doing this, and I'll, since I'm getting to know Pastor Chris in my 5 minutes, I'll use you as an example, safe spot. But Pastor Chris, you know, with all due respect, Pastor, but Pastor Chris, he's doing this, so I'm, and hopefully, just hypothetically say he's not doing the right thing, okay? Because he's my friend now, I can talk to him like this, right, okay? He trusts me. But say he's not doing the right thing. But so we compare ourselves to others in the church. But the question is, church, what if that person you're comparing to is wrong? What if you're, and I'm not talking about Mitaki. When I say churches, okay, church, Christian church, churches in around the world, okay? But what if your church is doing the wrong thing? What if nobody is broken? What if nobody gets out of the boat? Because everybody in the church is staying here where it's safe and where it's easy, where there's no offense. What if everybody in the church, and what if it's taught from the pulpit that's better to be safe and let's live that quiet life? And they understand what Ephesians 4. What if you're comparing yourself to the wrong people? You can be the one, church. You can be the one to get out of the boat and do amazing things for God. Just one person sometimes. The greatest revivals around the world, the greatest move of the Spirit in nations around this world, sometimes, many times, one person, one message that transforms a nation. I know it's not always like that, but there's many stories throughout history of one man, one woman standing up, one student in a school, standing up and saying, I'm going to reach my friends for Christ. One person on a workplace, one person in a university says, we need to have a Chi Alpha here in this university. One person bringing transformation to tens, 50, hundreds of people many times. There has to be someone to step out of the boat and to do amazing things for God. Every breakthrough, guys, in any workplace or mission field, and I said this, but say it a little different, happens because many times, again, one person, one church, the 1:30 service at Mitaki, do you know what they're doing? The amount of vision that they got a hold of this message. They began to invite people. They began to pray for people. They were unashamed of Jesus. Do you know what's happening at Mitaki Green Chapel? Do you know what's happening there? Do you know they're teaching that you need to be bold for Jesus. They started out their year, Pastor Roshi, with a message on outreach. They got a hold of it. And God is doing amazing things. One church, one people, that get a hold of these words of Jesus and can transform nations and cities. Don't stay in the boat, church, because people need to know Jesus. Let me pray for you. Why don't you guys stand, all right? I'm going to pray. I'm not sure, do you guys... I know it's late. And I went a little long. I understand that, guys, you're here longer today, and I appreciate your time. And let me pray for you, okay? I'm going to pray a great blessing over you. And pray that you be broken even more than you are now. That the 1:30 service, Meetake Green Chapel, have a great impact in this city. That they are broken for the people. Not only clean people, do you know what I'm saying, church? But people that no one wants. Remember, Jesus came, church. He came for those that needed a physician, not those that are healthy. So let me pray this blessing over you. Lord, I thank you for this church. Pastor Horikawa, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Chris and Pastor Kevin that minister here. Thank you, God, for their dedication. Their dedication to this service and to this church. Weekly, studying, preparing. And so many of other youth, the worship team, preparing to lead people into worship. So I thank you, Lord, that this church is here and making an impact. But God, I know every church, every person, that God, we can make a greater impact. Hiroshima is huge. Much larger than Iwakuni. I know there is great opportunities in this city to bring people to Christ, to share the gospel with them. And so, Lord, I pray this blessing, this challenge over this group, that God, they would just not be hearers of the word today, but doers. I pray that God, that they would find what the scriptures talk about in Acts 1 and Acts 2, about this power that Jesus sent, that the disciples needed before they entered into ministry. And he says, you need this. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't start, is what he was implying. Wait until I send this presence, this indwelling, rather, permanent indwelling of the Spirit in you. And there will be power that comes along with it. So I pray that over this service, over this church, that God, they would get hold. They would be hungry people for this power and for people. Lord, I pray that God, you would help us to be broken for those faces that we see every day. Broken for them. Help us to weep over the hurting. Help us to do what Jesus preached. And that is to go to those that need a physician, not to have this clean and perfect church, but to have people in here that no one wants, that no one is reaching, that no one is talking to, the people that annoy everyone on the job. Break my heart for them. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you.